B-Pod Studios.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos. Here we go.
Tuga time, it's Tuga time, it's Tuga time, it's Tuga. Tuga, Tuga, Tuga time, it's Tuga time, it's Tuga time, it's Tuga. Tuga, 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 Tuga.
I'm going to be so hungover at work tomorrow, I'm not going to do anything.
Five of Sports Up. It's Toucher and Rich. By the way, somebody just tweeted, Bird is too funny. Where do we find the podcast? And I tweeted it back. Even Bird doesn't know. So I'm sure we'll get to that a little bit later on. But in the meanwhile, a gentleman who is an interesting follow on Twitter, as we all slowly lose our minds over the last couple of weeks, months. Some do it louder and more visually than others. And some do it more entertaining than others. And one of those people would be our own Ty Anderson, who writes for 98.5thesportshub.com, covers the Bruins and his own breakdowns on Twitter. How are you doing this morning? I'm a little, to be quite honest, I was going to have you on anyway just to check on you. But now that there's real Bruins news, it's kind of an excuse.
Yeah, Ty, 2:30 in the morning, 3:45 in the morning. I mean, I'm up. I'm checking Twitter to see what happened overnight. And without fail, there's at least one frantic tweet from you. How are you?
I'm all right, but that may change. It's a sliding scale. We try our best here, but yes, no, it's not. It's my whole schedule is out of whack. So even more so than usual. I'm usually a night owl, but this has been especially bad, just because there's really nothing to do. So you're prone to napping, which means you're prone to staying up until 3 a.m. And you look at the clock and you're like, oh, my God, it's 5 a.m. What are we doing right now? So it's not been good. It's not been good. I need something to get my life back to center here.
Okay. Look, when you know, 3 years from now, when we look back and we go, oh, can you believe all this happened? And you look at your body of work of writing over the last couple of months, where you basically, with no sports, have to pull stuff out of your butt to write about. What's going to be the one article that you either wrote or half wrote and threw away that said, wow, I can't believe I actually wrote that?
I think, I don't know if we've hit it yet. I said we're going to hit it in June. I mean, we just started holding a month before sports happened. I'm going to end up writing something about, can't believe these shoes somebody wore, and it's gonna be awful, and I'm gonna hate it, but it's gonna have to be done. Yeah, that's the weird thing. Like, we were lucky when this whole thing first happened on the website, because we had the Brady decision, and then we had the Gronk news, and all the leagues were suspending play, and everything in between. And now it's kind of like things are a little bit harder to find, you know. And you're like, all right, we could do this, we could do that. So it's been really weird, but there's going to be a point, and I think I would bet I'll say June, 17th, where there's really nothing going on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it's going to be a 3-part series on some game against the Atlanta Thrashers in 2007. I'm going to hate writing it, and everyone's going to hate reading it.
He's got the date picked out. He knows exactly what date he's going to go insane.
Sure, like smack dab in the middle of the June calendar. I have to be honest, you tweeted something the other day about a Bruins player, and I went, he's on the team? I have forgotten about the trade deadline things. Like I think it was something about Nick Ritchie, and I'm like, oh, Nick, hang on, who? And I had to, oh, yeah. And there were all these different things, storylines that I've got to completely refresh myself with. It doesn't seem like it's only been it seems like it's been 10 years since they've played. And to the point where I'm forgetting what the hell was going on at the end of it. I knew they were really good, and I knew Pasternak was amazing, but I had to actually give myself a refresher the other night, because none of that has seemed to matter over the past couple of months. You know what I mean? It's it's tough to even get back my head back into the gear that we're going to get real sports back.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's think about both Richie and Kasha. They've only had a couple of games with this team. You know,
the other guy. That's the other one. I was like, huh?
Yeah. And you're like, it's to your point. Yes, you're kind of like, I know the Bruins were good. I don't remember why they were good, but I know they were good. And it's kind of interesting to think, though, that these guys they spent big on in both instances don't have a fit right now. Like, they don't, like, if the season began tomorrow, I wouldn't say to you, oh, well, Richie's going to be here and Kasha's going to be here. So that's the part that's still kind of a little concerning to me for a Bruins fan. It's okay, where are these guys playing in the round robin and then come game one of the playoffs? That needs to be figured out still. And if you have enough time, even with the round robin, to figure that out. I mean, that's the biggest question I think facing this team right now. So, yeah, but also at the same time, you're sitting there like, is this really important right now? Is Nick Richie's fit? Like, can I really get upset about this on the internet?
Yeah. Right. As I said, when I see some of these names, like, I'm almost ashamed, but then I'm like, dude, everyone's like forgotten about this. The thing is, too, is that, you know, now with the NHL, the clock is finally ticking. Like, the timer has started. No, it has. Mm. Ever since the NBA announced dates and said they're on there, like, now the clock is truly ticking. Right. Because everyone could drag their feet until somebody is first. Like, somebody of, like, a substantial size. Not like the MMA. Like, an entire league. So now the clock is ticking. And, like, we're hearing, like, yesterday there was the Pierre LeBrun report that says that this week they're trying to finalize the actual format of the playoffs. We've heard that. But what do we know more than that, Ty? Like, what do we know about – do we know yet where it's going to be? Because that keeps changing. Do we know yet any more details about how they're going to make this all happen? Because, to be quite honest, it's been somewhat confusing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And yesterday they say they're finally moving into phase two after almost 3 months in phase one, and that's going to happen on Monday. They're not going to move into phase three until July 10th at the earliest. So you're still talking about a month and change away from actually having the training camp. But then yesterday, the
Penguins. What's phase two? I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. What is phase two?
Phase two is just small group workouts.
You have voluntary. Workouts.
Yeah, voluntary. No coaching staff on the ice. No face-to-face interactions between the coaches and the players. And that's sort of like it's almost like captain's practices, you know, to a degree. It's that kind of level of intensity, if you will. This is just to get everyone back in the city, back in the building, if they want to be there. Again, it's voluntary. But so that's phase two. And so July 10th is the earliest you can have phase three. Yesterday, the Penguins had a player who tested positive, and the NHL is still moving forward. So that's sort of – You look at that and say, okay, well, they're not going to delay this. You know, I thought maybe when that happened, they would say, okay, we know we're going to push back a few days. But no, they're still going ahead with it. So that's – you look at that how you will. But I think in terms of the location, I think Vegas is going to be one of them. It's just – the NBA was looking at it and it didn't work. So the NHL is going to say, okay, that worked for us. And then the second city, I think that – like, to be honest with you, I was talking about this at Sagar Maz's. I think Columbus makes sense because you have Ohio State there, too. So you can use that facility either for practices or for games because you think about it, right? Like, you can't do a first round and only have one arena and like or just two arenas, and that's it. I feel like to have a true first round, unless you're going to have games from 1 p.m. through 1 a.m., you need more than two arenas, or the first round's going to take a whole month on its own. So I think Columbus makes a lot of sense for them.
Hey, real quick, the earliest possible time that we'll see a hockey game that counts in your mind. Say phase three happens on time, July whatever, 6th, you said? What is the earliest? The NBA is going to start July 31st. What is the earliest the Bruins could have a game?
I will say July 27th. I don't know why. Today's the day where I'm just picking numbers. I'm taking dates out of my butt, so I'll go with that. I don't see it happening. I think that timeline in the NBA makes a lot more sense for the NHL, but I'm sure they don't want to go against the NBA on night one. So maybe they try to capitalize and get back a little bit beforehand. But you're going to have a 3-week training camp before you have your first game. So I would say it all depends on the play-ins and the round robin starts, but whenever their first date is, I would say 3 weeks after that is when they want to be playing games.
All right, so we know, Ty, obviously how physical the NHL is, and especially the level that they play during the playoffs. Is there any possibility that the league goes to the players and says, "We want you to play an NBA-like type of schedule," in which it sounds more than likely they'll be playing every other day? with every once in a while there being a back-to-back. Is that something that, A, you think is feasible, and B, that you think the players would ever agree to?
I think so, because if you look at the playoffs, typically it almost is every other day with the exception of the Stanley Cup. I think they'd have to be okay with that. They'd make concessions here. It really is everything. I think I would say that probably if you look at the playoff field, 85-90% of the guys want to play. It really is about sort of the other concessions here. You know, where are their families in town? Where are they staying? Are they confined to a hotel? That has to be negotiated still. I think, and that's an important part of it. I think playing every other day, maybe having some back-to-backs in there, they'll live with that. I think that you look back at 2013 when they were dealing with the lockout and the playoffs went until almost July. You had some back-to-backs in there, and especially in the first round. So that wouldn't surprise me. I don't think you're going to have conference finals and Stanley Cup final games on back-to-backs, but I do think that you're going to see them sort of have to say to the guys, we got to bang these first two rounds out quickly. We can't wait with these 2 days off, 3 days off, whatever it is. And I think the players will be receptive to that after having 4 months off.
Yeah, and you were talking before the season was cut short. You know, everyone's looking at the Bruins team, and not just because the way they were playing, you thought that they would be something that, you know, truly made them a contender, but also because of the burn that they felt from the end of last year, for the way that they lost it. And we saw that happen in 2011, like the way that they lost the year before, where, you know, the game seven, they were up by 3 goals against Philly, and then all of a sudden it all comes crashing down. It's an embarrassing way to go out. Do you still feel that that is something that, even with this delay, like, are they, in other words, are you still as confident in this team after all of this as you were before the season started?
No, because I can't be. It's too long of a break. It's not 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It's 4 months. I mean, that's, yeah. You have to hope timing is still there. You have to hope that your goaltenders are still playing at the level they were. And that can happen, yeah, but also it's very, you know, you're jumping in after 3 games. They're going to have a round robin and jump right back in. So they're going to have 180 minutes, at, you know, 195 at the very most to get back to where they were. I don't know if it's enough time. So for me, I have a hard time saying, yes, they have that same kind of that hunger or whatever. And I think it's different, too, when you take out the energy part of it with the crowd being in Boston, kind of saying, okay, this is our shot at redemption here. I just think that so many things are different than they were on March 10th, you know, to compare to now, that it's tough to sit here and say that. I think that the positive thing is that the Bruins still have a great leadership core between Chara and Bergeron and Marchand, guys that can help them and want to really have that redemption. It's just the setting, the context, everything is just so different now than it was when I felt really confident watching this team and saying this is a revenge tour. It's just really, it's going to be really different when they get back. So I can't hitch my wagon to that like I could again in March.
All right, Ty. So obviously we're watching your Twitter, and it's been interesting, entertaining, but also concerning at times. We all obviously hope that you mentally are in a happy place, and it sounds like you're kind of, you know, you're around there. You know, it's nothing too crazy. But
he's got dogs, Rich. He's got dogs to keep him company.
Good.
Apparently,
dude, you will not believe how much having a dog helps.
I know,
John, you got one.
Oh yeah,
it is everything. Like, there's days where you think that the world is just everything's crashing down around you, and your dumb dog will come up. Up and he'll do something stupid and lick your armpit, and all of a sudden everything's okay for at least the next 45 seconds. Having a dog, it rules during all this. And I know that it's going to piss them off when everyone's got to leave the house again because they think we're here for them. But here's something that might give you a little bit of if you can do this. My birthday was 2 months ago. It was in the middle of April, and it was extremely low key. We didn't really do anything because, you know, of everything that was going on, and my wife didn't want to order anything because we kind of felt like jackasses ordering tons of unnecessary stuff whenever. But this week, I finally got my birthday present, and Ty, if you can do this and get yourself one of these too, it'll make things just a little bit better. Remember that thing that I showed you a picture of when you were in studio like about 6 months ago? She got me the arcade 1-up three-quarter size version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade stand.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, gotta be there. I'm coming over. I'm gonna be on my way soon.
And, dude, it's like, it's my happy place. Standing in front of the stupid thing right now, I have won not only the original Turtles game, but Turtles in Time, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, which comes with it. And it's got four controllers, so me and three of my imaginary friends can play it together.
We're all doing this today. Once 10 a.m. hits, we're all going there. And I call Michelangelo, and if anyone takes him, I'm going to have a meltdown because I've been inside this long.
It's a party, dude.
Dude, I'm a Donatello guy. He's the best in the game. The both staff gets you many advantages on this one. So, yeah, if you can just know that, and I think it was only like $300 or something like that, that they got it for.
For what they are. Like, that's the thing. People say, well, that's crazy. But no, if you see this, you're going to go, wow, that's actually a bargain.
No, I have one in my house.
I think it's like it looks just. Yeah, Wallach's got, you got the Pac-Man one.
I have Pac-Man. Yep.
Yeah. So like they look like something. Like if you didn't see it next to an original one, you would think it was the same one. But it's like three quarters the size, and it's the same game and everything. And oh, dude, it's been my happy place. So Ty, I know how much you're into the Ninja Turtles, and I know how you like arcade. It might be worth the $300 just to make everything be okay for at least a week, and then you'll get sick of it, I'm sure.
That might happen. By the way, those dogs aren't mine. They're my mom's dogs. I went and visited her, but I was like, these dogs are the best. I do want to take them. It seems kind of unfair that I live in an apartment building that doesn't allow dogs. Like, if the guy next door can cook Brussels sprouts, why can't I get a dog? One of these things is a lot worse than the other, in my opinion. So a little bummer, but I'm going to be hanging out with them all the time.
All right. Well, we're thinking about you, man. But we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully,
you guys, like, I know I'm not like truly losing it. You guys, the audience is going to think that I'm actually a crazy person now. I'm not that insane. I promise.
That's what a crazy person would say.
I'm just going to say.
Ty, thanks for coming on, man. Hopefully, we'll all be saved by real hockey soon. That would be nice.
Something awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you again, too. We got to discuss the rest of this bird thing. We'll do it next.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
With the brand new
.985, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. By the way, John, I know I've told you this, but Joe Murray, that company that makes those three-quarter size arcade machines... NBA Jam being released next month.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's next month. Okay.
Is it current or like the old school?
It's the old school one, but the one that thing they're doing with this one, they have no the other ones, is that you can connect it to like Wi-Fi and download like new players and stuff. And you can actually, I think, play other people like around the country as well, but it's the arcade stand-up. So I think you can still get... Who was on the it was Kevin McHale and who when it
I think
first
it was Range, right?
Reggie Lewis.
Was it Reggie Lewis? Okay.
Yep.
Ains might have been on the Suns though.
Is that right back then?
It might have been Dan Marley and Kevin Johnson.
I think it was Dan Marley and Kevin Johnson. I
think you're right. I gotta go back through and take a look at who the original pairings are.
I literally like love that game.
At the beginning, though, it was like the really bad Celtics of the 90s. Like Dino Raja was one of the players.
D Brown.
D Brown. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I think that you can kind of, on this one, I might be talking on my butt, but you can, match the eras and everything. But the thing about these, machines is they look just like them. Like, it's the same artwork and everything, like along the sides and all that. And it's awesome.
Talk to me really when they get Punch Out. That's what I care about. If they ever got the rights to Punch Out, I'd buy that thing so fast and beat Mr. Sandman senseless.
They don't have a deal, I think, with Nintendo. I think so the ones they got, you get Golden Tee now as a stand-up, which is awesome. They're releasing a new like Pac-Man that also has Galaga in it, which is just classic. I have Street Fighter 2. Like that's one that I have. And there's a Marvel one. Like Marvel superheroes, there's a Mortal Kombat one that they've got, and it looks just like it. There's one that the game sucks, but the cabinet's so awesome that it's just, it's the Burger Time. No. Like Burger Time was never a good game, but like the side of it with the dude holding the burger, it just looks amazing. And then there's like a bunch of other like they have the Star Wars one, which is the where you held the, it's not a joystick. It's like you hold the thing where you're flying through.
No, I know that, and it's not actual. It's like like Lego, like construction. It looks like construction that you're firing at. You know, towers.
The old school game. Yeah, the old school game.
Yep.
Yes. So they've got that, and they have a version where you can sit down, like the one in the arcade where you would sit down inside of it. So they've got that as well. But I mean, as I said, you know, I've even mentioned to you guys, just going to that website and looking at those things has kind of been, you know, a little bit of a happy place to just dream. But I finally got that one. Like, I mean, it was my birthday present two months late because, you know, they kind of wanted to wait till everything kind of came down and it calmed down a little bit. And, oh, dude, it is awesome. And it takes like maybe 20 minutes to put together. And you are right there. You're putting quarters on the dash. And I'm like, it's all old school. All right. So Bird is an interesting character. We love Bird. Bird started a podcast. It's the Annie Who podcast. And he sat down with our own Joe Murray, who is teaching a masterclass along with Sarge, which is hysterical. But Joe Murray, obviously very good at his job. But he asked Bird, after we played some of Bird's podcast, where do you find it? Because remember, that's what I was like. I wanted to tweet it, and I wanted to tell the world where it was. And here's what Bird had to say about that.
You're part of the Any Who podcast?
Yes, I started my Any Who podcast last week. You, my girlfriend, and Rich, and a bunch of other people saying, Bird, like, you haven't done anything since March. Like, just do a podcast. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And, you know, March became May, and several weeks went by, and I'm like, all right, I'll just do it now.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even post it.
I know. I'm being really lazy about this.
So you want to, like, just put your hands in your pocket and just show up?
Show up, yeah, as of right now. But, no, I'm going to get better and better. Turtle crawl right now. Just turtling.
What happened to the Dude and Bird show?
So after my first episode, the dude hit me up. He's like, dude, congratulations. You're doing your own podcast. He's like, we'll get back together. I'm like, dude, I thought we were done.
I got stopped. Like, no, so they both call each other dude. So I'm getting confused as to who's talking here. I don't know who's addressing who because one guy's name is Dude and the other one is calling the other guy Dude.
The dude hit me up.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's let it roll.
The dude hit me up. He's like, dude, congratulations. You're doing your own podcast. He's like, we'll get back together. I'm like, dude, I thought we were done. He's like, no, we're not done. We're not done. It's just the virus and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you're a professor. Shouldn't you be, like, doing professor stuff? Like, how often are we going to do this, dude?
You got to do professor stuff.
Guys, this
don't
is
you have, like, this don't you got, like, awesome Bunsen burners and stuff? Isn't it?
Well, how often are we going to do this, dude?
Don't you got, like, you know, green liquids to pour into blue liquids that make volcanoes? You got, like, professor stuff. Professoring. I just wonder what's in Bird's head.
I think Dude might be working at a grocery store, gentlemen. I don't know.
I asked about that. I couldn't get any confirmation.
All right. The rumor that he might be working at a grocery store.
Well, maybe he's doing both.
Because he's doing God's work, you know?
No question. But I mean, you know, I do know he is a teacher at a college. I do know that is true.
Teacher at a college and a professor, are they two different things, Rich?
They are two different things.
Okay.
Like, professor is a title, and then there is teacher. You kind of have to earn being a professor. Yeah. But I mean, either way, he's doing professor stuff, according to Bird, which is just fantastic. I'm sorry. I have to just hear this one isolated thing one more time right here.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
what's your problem? Yeah.
I mean, I made it. I didn't want people to actually listen to it. All right. So I guess he goes on. And one thing that Bird has been doing is, you know, he's talked to us about how he does some rideshare. I would think that Bird would probably be a very pleasant person to do a rideshare with, very affable gentleman. And Joe, I believe you asked him to tell his craziest rideshare story. Ah, damn it. We got a break. All right. I want to hear this because apparently it's crazy. So we will get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines. Hang on. One more time. I got it.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. John,
Yes, sir.
We have ourselves a sponsor, don't we?
We always do. The Stack, sponsored by my guys at Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
All right. I don't mean to get sidetracked, but Joe Murray, can you name this?
I can hum it. I can hum it. Give me a second.
I have a guess. I have a guess.
John, it's for the steal.
Well, no, Dan actually made a good point. Let's get physical. Physical. No, that's not it. No. I'm going to say Double Dribble.
No, Double Dribble is way more like 8-bit. Like, that's, okay. Yeah.
Double Dribble.
That's right. No, that is not Double Dribble. Double Dribble is this.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And the Boston Frogs.
Yep.
We're playing the L.A. Breakers.
The sequential photos of a guy going in for a dunk. Yeah, I remember.
Which
at
the time were cool, even though you guys say otherwise.
It really wasn't. Not at all.
Just think that upgraded Balls on Fire.
Oh, NBA Jam.
NBA Jam?
That is the NBA Jam theme.
Wow,
right there.
I feel like that's not the song I remember.
That's the NES version of the NBA Jam. All right, so it might not be the arcade version, but that's the one that, you know, for us poor folk who, you know, didn't really live near an arcade, we were just the only way we could really play it. Now, what was cool is that there were codes, too, that you could have. I remember a friend of mine knew how you could make Beavis and Butthead play.
Oh, yeah, I had that, yep.
Okay, and Barney was one of them, too. I think at the time it was President Clinton,
I believe. Yeah, he could play, from downtown.
Yeah, that's right. And I forget, like, one of these guys was really good, and I forget, it might have been President Clinton who was just unbelievable, but I don't know. But, yeah, so that is the NBA. Just all this talk about the NBA Jam thing and that game coming out got me all excited.
Just real quick, if you had to choose one team right now, two players, who would it be?
On NBA Jam?
Yeah.
You see, I mean, I was a fan of who did I pick? Who did I used to pick? Because there was the – who was with Wilkins? Because it was Dominique Wilkins Spud?
Was it Spud Webb?
Spud or Doc? Because
I thought it was Doc Rivers. I thought it was Doc.
Yeah. I think it was Doc and Wilkins, and I used to be really good with those two guys when I went with the Hawks. And I'm trying to remember, like, Chris Mullin, because every once in a while.
Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin were awesome.
Yeah, that was a great matchup,
and then
too.
The Charlotte Hornets, Zoe and LJ.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was great.
So I know that my go-to was Dominique, and I think it was Doc.
No, actually, we have a correction. It was Ogman.
It was Stacey Ogman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just knew that I loved Wilkins on that game. To be honest, it's been so long since I played it, but I know I was a Hawks guy. So who was yours?
I mean, I just always went to Celtics, but the Shaq and Scott Skiles.
Was that the Orlando lineup then?
That's right. And
they picked Scott Skiles. They didn't pick like D. Scott. They didn't Dennis Scott wasn't the guy.
Not in the arcade game. No.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, I think there were two editions of the arcade game, right?
Yeah. Stockton Malone was great.
That was a great one. Yeah, there's no question. But Lockhart saying the Charlotte Hornets were his team. Zoe and Larry Johnson. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. But now you got me jonesing to go get that.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if I'd go LeBron and eyebrow these days.
Oh, like if they had a modern day version of it?
Gotta be. Yeah.
If you just pick like two, like two to go together?
Well, on a team. Like who? Like, you know, would it be Kemba and
Anthony Davis and LeBron, or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George?
Yeah.
You know? I would think that if there was a video game, there's no way that they wouldn't make LeBron just the
Harden
greatest.
Harden, Westbrook.
You'd be the Lakers every single time. Yeah, there's no question. Although it would be fun to do. It would be fun to do Houston, just because your guys would move five times faster than anybody, and obviously score within 2 seconds. By the way, I mean that people were asking what was the name of that company. It was Arcade 1-Up, and it's awesome. It's like if you have a couple $100 that you know that you want to spend just to do something, to get something you absolutely don't need, but will make you ridiculously happy for a small. And you know what? It looks cool in your house. To be quite honest, if you're a nerd like me. I'm telling you, I love these things. I can't say enough. All right, so real quick, I want to get to this because Bird has his own podcast, and Joe Murray had him on his podcast yesterday, and when he interviewed him, he said things like this. And
well, dude, I heard.
Right there.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
It's still funny. Every single time you play it.
It's bird encapsulated. So,
really is.
So at one point, Joe Murray, because he's a good interviewer, asked Bird to tell his best rideshare stories because he is a rideshare driver. And to be quite honest, this piques my interest. Bird, tell me one of your craziest stories.
I'll never forget. I pick up these two stoners in Somerville and reek of weed. I didn't care. I'm just sitting there driving like this. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I can already tell. And they're just talking like the universe and aliens and stuff, like getting really in depth into it. I'm just sitting there driving. I'm like, I can't get here fast enough. Like, they're just like, you know, aliens are coming to take over the world, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's so many alternate universes. There's like an alternate you. There's an alternate you that's like a better person in another universe. I'm like, what, you tell me I'm a bad person right now? Like, there's someone else, like, there's a better version of me out there? Like, what are you talking about? Like, just like crazy, stupid stuff like that. And like how the Milky Way is going to eat us and all that BS. I was like, okay, dude, stop. Like, he was just saying the most random, weird stuff ever about aliens in the sky and the universe. Like, it was just like, dude.
Do you believe in aliens?
Oh, yeah, they're out there.
Okay.
They're out there. The universe is too big not to be. They're out there. So another crazy one is when I first started, I had my SUV.
Hey, stop. For you to say another crazy one, the first one has to be a crazy one.
Yes, right.
I don't think that one quite qualified. I'm still waiting for the part where the two stoner guys are just talking about stoner things where that got crazy. I'm just waiting. So, Dan, or Mike, you've heard this. Is the second one indeed crazier than the first one?
No.
Okay.
Don't even need that.
Mike says no.
Sorry, Mike.
No. Joe's like, all right, please move on.
So Joe, are you like, all right, man?
No. Listen, I gotta tell you. You said you go on those 90-minute bike rides. Dude, it's worth it because we talked about some crazy stuff, man.
Listen, as I said,
well, where is it?
You can find it on Spotify, iTunes.
I thought we were going to spotlight some of it here.
Although this I do want to know because apparently the Slam and Slew Banger.
That's what
week,
I want to know. Let's get to that.
Okay. I don't know why this has happened, but I've been told, and Joe, and you can confirm this, that name has to go. Am I right?
It's copyrighted for Dudenberg.
It's copyrighted. Right,
okay. Let the clip roll. Let it roll.
Your podcast, anywho, Slew Banger.
Today? Oh, I got to think about that. I don't know, dude. There's no more Slew Banger. We got to think of a different name.
What's the new name?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it when you're talking to me, too. It's tough, dude. I guess that's funny and edgy.
We need a new name. Like what?
I like to say local, but if I have to go nationally, I would. But I like doing like local.
So you want
to
do like a local. So like.
Like Stifler's mom. Well, I use that as an example. She's from Newton.
Oh, okay. Then all right. Local legend, local lady, mass ass.
Stop.
Joe.
Has it been explained why he has to change the name?
Earlier in the episode, that dude no longer wants to.
Joe, he's like has the biggest migraine when he's like, all right, here is some time.
Yeah, so at the beginning,
you can't think of any. Here are some ones that you can use.
It says that dude no longer wants him to use the Slew Banger. So he has
dude is stepping in.
Yeah,
and why?
He says he wants him to change the name if he's going to do his own podcast.
I sense problems here. That's
infringement,
not right.
Trouble in parent. Are you
not
kidding
only,
me?
Not only is dude not allowed on the new podcast, dude, in retribution, is not allowing Bird to take that name with him.
That's right.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
So we put it out to some listeners, and we tried to come up with a new name for it.
I do not like this division between dude and Bird. This is like mom and dad fighting.
Yeah.
If mom and dad spoke like two townies and were stuck in a cave. So this is bad news. I feel bad for Bird. I think he's been betrayed by his friend. I don't even know who created the word Slew Banger. Was it Bird or was it dude? I think that the tape's going to have to, we're going to have to get some evidence in there. They might have to go to court. We might have to settle that right here.
Slew Banger Court?
No, it would be called Dude Court. That's what it
would
be.
Dude Court.
Dude Court.
Each one of them would just address each other as dude.
I think they continue to do that. Let me. Okay. Is that the end of the clip, or is there more of them?
No, there's some guesses, I think.
10 more seconds.
Here. Let me hear this.
Local lady who?
The lady.
Lady. We can do that. Ladies.
The local lady.
Local lady. Triple L. Ooh, I like that.
You see, that's Joe trying to do him a solid. Joe would never tell them they couldn't use that name. That's a dude thing. Dude, I'm ashamed, man. I'm upset. And I'm sorry.
I like Mass Ass. He wants to keep it local. That's what I came up with, Mass Ass.
The Mass Ass. No. That's not even near good. Slubang is perfect. Because here's why. I had never heard that term before they said it. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was awesome. Just the way it came out. It's a slubanger. Like, I still don't. I think that they invented it. I think he did it by accident. I think he was coughing and that word came out of his mouth and it sounded funny and they rolled with it. I'm A-OK with that.
Who is the woman that we used to work for Nessa and now works for Barstool? Who is the one we had in that Bird had to face in person?
Casey Smith,
after calling her the Slubanger of the week, Casey Smith was in studio.
And Casey's great. And she was in studio, and we had told her, I was like, hey, this guy in the other studio, you were named something on his show called the Slammin' Slubanger. Would you like to address that? And boy, when we said that, Bird got so red. Like, so red. I mean, it's a term of honor, to be quite honest. All of a sudden, he's been
she was cool about it, though. I got to give her all the credit
Casey
in the world.
Smith, she's the best.
She was really good about it.
She's great. And yep. But, I mean, I love the fact that she just knew that by talking about it, it was going to make him squirm. And he had to look her right in the eyes like, yes, I indeed labeled you a slubanger, whatever that means. All right. So there you go. The Dude Bird Show, where not the Dude Bird Show, just the Bird Podcast, which, once again, we don't know where to find
it. Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, matter of fact, that should be the name of the podcast. I don't know where to hear it. Yeah. So, this is not to change the subject so drastically, but I don't want to end the show without playing this. This is something that was sent to me a couple of days ago. Yesterday it went viral. So, yes, I am behind the eight ball on this, but it's too good to not talk about. We've been, you know, the whole term Karen. That, you know, we've been discussing people who women who are usually within the age of between 30 and 50, is that kind of the stereotype, who demand excellence, who get angry at the smallest thing, especially during a pandemic, people who go over the top. I don't think this is a situation of a Karen. I think this is more a situation of a Brooklynite, somebody who is has a very similar mindset to many of the people that we've played on our 911 calls. There was a video that went around yesterday of a woman who had two of her very small children. I'm thinking they're probably 3 or 4 years old, and they are in what looks like some sort of park. And you guys have seen those electric Hot Wheels cars that you can fit into and kind of drive around at it's like 1 or 2 miles per hour. Like, they're the slowest things ever because they're made for tiny kids and they don't want kids getting in like accidents. But they're the little motorized little cars that you see in the back of the Toys R Us that go super duper slow. So this woman was filming her kids who were riding around the park in one of those away from everybody. I didn't see anybody near it, except there is this older woman who has a massive problem with it. Remember, these are 3 and 4 year olds going 1 or 2 miles per hour. And here's what she said.
They're playing. That's what the park is for.
I never saw a car in here before.
It's a Power Wheel car,
man. What bothers me is you have a little kid in here that doesn't have a driver's license. He's just a little kid and you're not with him.
It's not a real car.
Because that's what you would need is a driver's license to drive around a Power Wheels, a car that could barely even fit my foot. Yeah. Where the size of two little kids are. So
I would say this pandemic needs to end, but something tells me that woman's always like that.
I know.
I don't think the situation will change her at all.
Well, listen, I think that it brings out the inner Brookline in a lot of people, but I think that you're right. That is somebody. That's the type of woman who was complaining about the kid kicking dirt at the baseball field.
Yes, yes.
And not causing anyone any problem, but congratulations on that. Well, Forbes has named their highest earning musicians. And when you take a look, it's actually they named celebrities as well. But if you look at just the musicians, the number one on the list altogether in celebrities.
Ace Frehley,
yes. He earned a ticket. Not Ace Frehley,
any money.
If you take a look at the list, It is kind of interesting who ended up making. Let's just do the whole celebrities one, because if you look at like just celebrities in general, number one is Kendall or Kylie Jenner. Kylie Jenner, they say, is worth. Okay, how much is she? And this is this money from what they made?
I think it's in the previous year, Rich, because yeah. This is the 2020 list. So this perhaps could encapsulate or include 2019 earnings.
All right, how much did Kylie Jenner, according to Forbes, earn last year?
$100 million.
Oh, higher.
Way more than that.
All right, $250 million.
Higher.
$500 million.
Higher.
What? I refuse to believe that.
$590 million, according to Forbes. And you know what the greatest thing about all this is that there was a story that came out, maybe it was like a year ago, that Kylie Jenner was the youngest self-made billionaire in history. And then a story came out 2 weeks ago that apparently she had forged a few things or had lied about the amount of money that she was getting, and she wasn't indeed a billionaire, and she got so pissed off and like just was going crazy defending herself. And I'm like, imagine being upset that you're not a billionaire, but instead you're only worth $950 million. Like, imagine actually being upset about that. Like, how vain are you when unemployment's like at an all-time high and you're pissed off that the world doesn't think you're a billionaire anymore? It's like that Silicon Valley show where the guy trades commas and he was pissed because he no longer had three commas and how much he was worth. I mean, I obviously can't stand them anyway, but it's a massive drop from Kylie Jenner down to second place with the most, the highest paid athletes, or not athletes, celebrities from this last year. And it goes all the way down to $170 million. And that is Kanye West and how much money he's made. Now, that's not from his music, because I don't think he's making anything more than that gospel stuff. That's from his shoe and clothing line and deals that he's made with other retailers. Because I don't, has he made. I think he made like one album last year.
He maybe produced an album, but that's all I can think of.
I didn't think that, you know, being a musician just from making music, I don't think you can make a ton of money anymore unless it's from live shows. Number three, Roger Federer with 106. Ronaldo right behind him with Lionel Messi. And then at number six, you've got Tyler Perry. And then if you just take a look at musicians, as I mentioned, Kanye West at number one. Elton John with $81 million. He had a huge tour this past year. And then Ariana Grande, Jonas Brothers, the Chainsmokers are on there.
Oh.
Now, the Chainsmokers and Marshmello are in the top 10. And you're like, okay, Marshmello's a DJ. The Chainsmokers, they're DJs. How the hell are they so high up this list? Both of those, if you take a look, signed these mega residency deals in Las Vegas. The Chainsmokers, I believe, did it with the Hakkasan Group. They're the people who own the big techno nightclub over in at Caesars and also the one at MGM Grand. And Marshmello signed one at the Palms. And these deals are absurd. Mm-hmm. What did I read about Calvin Harris, Dan, a while back? Like, Calvin Harris gets something ridiculous. He signed like a 3-year residency deal that ends up paying him anywhere from 1.5 to almost $2 million a performance.
Per show, per performance, yes.
Per performance, he almost makes $2 million.
So he does about 25 or 26 of them a year.
Yep.
Every other week.
And every other week, he plays like on the Friday night over at Omnia, the techno club over at Caesar's Palace. And because of how much it costs to get in and bottle service and like that, he commands almost $2 million a night. So if you're wondering what job you need to get into, learn how to fake spin turntables and do what these guys are doing and wear a marshmallow on your head with two X's on it, because that guy and the Chainsmokers are making a ridiculous amount of money.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.